Well, hi, all you beautiful debtors. Hi, I'm Carla. I'm a compulsive debtor. And I couldn't be happier to be here. I want to say a humongous thank you to Maureen and the host committee that asked me to speak today. I want to say a big thank you and debt of gratitude to the General Service Board trustees for the oftentimes thankless job of doing service at that level. I appreciate every single one of you and every single hour that you are putting in to help our fellowship stay strong. I want to say thanks to all the GSRs for your service. We couldn't do it without you. You're the greatest. And of course, because this is the theme of the conference today, I want to say thanks to all the sponsors. So if you're a sponsor, I want you to use your little reaction and I want you to put a big thumbs up in your picture, because you want to know what? Sponsorship, as we all heard, is how we carry the message to each other. And today I want to talk, I'm going to tell my story. I know some people have heard it before, but it's pretty funny because I am a compulsive debtor. And like all other compulsive debtors, I've done a lot of wackadoodle-doodle things in the name of getting what I want. And so thanks. Wow, look at all those sponsors. You know, I really appreciate that. I really appreciate all you weighing in. The reason is, if you don't sponsor people, well, you don't get the gifts, right? And I know you've heard a lot about this today. So I want to talk about sponsorship in the context of my story today. I went to my first DA meeting in Baltimore in 1988. It was a tiny meeting on a Monday night in a church basement. And I was unhappy about being there, as a lot of people were when they go to their first meeting, because I was miserable. Why was I miserable? Because I had 2 Visa cards, an American Express card, 5 store cards, 2 gas cards. I had student loan debt, and I pretty much owed money to anybody I cared about. And I could not figure out why I was so miserable all the time. But somebody I was seeing at the time said to me, you know, all you do is complain about money. You need to go to Debtors Anonymous, which I had just gotten to another program at the time. So of course, because they said that, that's what I did. But I won't go there now, right now. I did land in this DA meeting, and it was small. There wasn't very much literature. And what was interesting to me was, of course, they talked about not incurring unsecured debt. They talked about not debting and not using credit cards and things. They talked about all kinds of things, which I thought was completely insane, right? Like, write all your numbers down and all the things you hear as a newcomer. And I thought, yeah, nope, 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 nope. But you want to know what's so interesting? There were 3 people in that meeting, and our meeting was on a Monday night. So they would drive from Baltimore, shut up Baltimore DA, they would drive to Washington DC and they would go to a meeting on Saturday and they would get the experience, strength and hope of people in DC who had, oh, shout out DC, who had more experience, strength and hope than we did in Baltimore. Then they'd come back and they would share that experience, strength and hope with us in that meeting. Because this was 1988, DA was still really young. If you ordered literature back then, it took like 6 months to get it. The volunteer organization was bare bones, right? And I thought, these people drive all the way to DC to go to a meeting and have a pressure relief group, whatever the PRG is, and then they'd come back. You know, their sponsors were all in Washington. So then they'd come all the way back and then they'd tell the people, all of us new people, what they heard, how to work it. How do you not use a credit card to buy things? And I thought, wow, the only reason I'd drive to DC would be to party, right? Like that stuck with me. Like, even though I knew nothing, I was a baby at the time. And I kept coming back because I was miserable. And slowly, I absorbed what people talked about, right? I absorbed that you try one day at a time not to incur any new debt. And I you know, a lot of times think how challenging this is for new people, right? How challenging it is to, like, you have a wallet and you're at some sort of purchasing opportunity. And right there, we have the opportunity, zing, woo, endorphins. Or I can take my cash and give it away. And I remember that moment standing at a cashier and thinking, but I remember what those people shared with me. And they were saying, just next, by the time you come back to the meeting next week, don't incur any debt. Try to get through the day without using a credit card. And, you know, so I did. I tried. I choose to use my cash instead of my credit card. And then that meeting that used to, like, take your credit cards out and cut them up, and we'd put them all in a big jar, and it'd be sitting there in the middle of the table, right? Because that was before identity theft. You couldn't, like, you had to be so freaked out, right? And the thing is that in those days, we were all still trying to figure out how not to debt one day at a time, but still live in the world. And one of the things that I realized was that I was pretty darn lazy. Because, you know, like, this was before ATM machines. It was before debit cards. It was before online anything. And so if I didn't want a debt, my bank was a different bank than my employer's bank. So I have to go into my employer's bank, cash that check, and then take that cash and deposit some of it in my bank, and then keep the other cash for myself. Like, it was old school. You had to go to the bank to not debt. And there was something about that willingness to go, what I heard later, we have that great slogan, you know, are you willing to go to any lengths not to debt one day at a time? And I thought, am I willing to get out of my car and go into the bank? All right, I'll try it, right? Slowly, I think what happens is we become more and more willing because, you know, as you are in DA, the misery lessens and the joy increases slowly. So that's what happened to me. Like, you know, 5 years in, I'm like, I hadn't debted. I did the first three steps. I was having pressure relief groups. I went to the visions meeting, which was awesome. And I came up with this, you know, I went to, you know, I did like things like I went to Europe for the first time in my life and I didn't debt and all this stuff. And so I thought, I'm rocking it. I got it going on. And I came up with this awesome vision, which included going to graduate school. And some of you heard this story before. It's a classic. So I went to my meeting. I had this great idea. I was going to go to graduate school. I found a graduate school. It was a very prestigious graduate school. And I thought, I want to go to this school. That's what I want. So we're standing outside in front of the meeting. And I turned to this newcomer. She'd been in about a week. And I said to her, do you think student loans are unsecured debt? And she said, oh, no. It's secured by your education. And I just took that and I ran with it. Mind you, I was at that time doing a pressure relief group for a person in graduate school so that he would not incur debt during graduate school. But see, this is how our disease is. My disease says to me, I want my vision more than I want to not incur debt. I want to go to graduate school more than I want to try and figure out how not to use a student loan, because that seems hard to me and I'm kind of lazy. So unfortunately, fortunately, my story involves an enormous slip. And I went to graduate school, and I remember that moment. I was like standing there in the registrar's office of Fancy Pants Land, and they like push all that paperwork towards me. I'd been in DA for 5 years, and I thought, should I do it? And I know my higher power was like, you know it's wrong, Carla. You know where, you know you're a debtor. But you know who won? Not my higher power. Sorry. My desire to go to get my vision to go to graduate school won. So I signed on the dotted line. I did it like, I think six more times. $80,000 in debt later, I got out. My graduate degree wasn't even one that had any kind of earning potential after it. It was just intellectual exercise, which was fun. But it, you know, there, I wasn't going to get out and make 300 grand afterwards, people. No, I landed in Minneapolis after that. I didn't know one human being here, but I was freaking out. I hadn't worked in my field for 3 years. I now was even more upside down than I was before. And I was, and I didn't know even anybody. And my partner, who I moved here with, also probably sick of me whining and complaining and freaking out about money, said to me, you know, maybe you should try those meetings again. And I thought, I don't know. I kind of really blew it. You know, I mean, I really blew it, right? Blew the stake. I went out 100%. But luckily, enough little nugget of DA was still in me that said, you can go back, Carla. You can do it again. You can start from day one again. So I went to this meeting on Saturday morning in Minneapolis. It was the first meeting that was ever started here. And I admitted that I was powerless. And I admitted to myself that I can't do it the way I did it before, which was basically the 1-2-3 waltz by myself in my room, sort of like you're going to be doing later at the talent show. I mean, at the dance where we're going to be dancing with ourselves. I do not recommend this as an approach to the 12 steps, right? So I had to get a sponsor, and I had to get a sponsor who was going to work the steps with me. And that's what I learned about being a sponsor, peeps. I know many of you know this, but it took me a while. You have a sponsor because that person has worked the steps, and they will help you work them too. Now we have like literature. Now we have the awesome workbook, right? Now we have tools, but my sponsor at the time, she was just another debtor, and she just had me start at one. Now here's the thing. If you've ever been in DA and had a slip and had to come back, it's hyper humbling. And I highly, highly, highly want to say to you that if this happens to you in the future, please, please, please come back. Because I will tell you that in my heart of hearts, when I had to sit there again in that room in Minneapolis, starting all over again, this time in a meeting with literature, I really got it. Like, and I promised myself I would never do that to myself again. And I would never do that to everybody around me again. Would never let my desire for wanting something win over my desire to not incur debt one day at a time. And so it's interesting because my desire is what got me into DA, because my desire for things and experiences that I couldn't afford, things I never gave a thought about, like how I was ever going to pay for, I never thought about any of those things. I just wanted them. Like, that's what got me here. And now I learned that my desire is what can keep me here. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop incurring unsecured debt, right? That's the only membership requirement we have. It doesn't matter who you are, what you do, how much debt you have, how much debt you don't have. You can, you know, there's a lot of conversation in DA about how you introduce yourself. I personally like to keep it simple and say I'm a compulsive debtor. I have a lot of flavors of compulsive, of debting, right? I'm a compulsive spender. I'm a big shot. I'm a well, I'm a stealer. I've stolen things. I'm a manipulator with money. I like to have somebody else pay for me. I don't want to pay for myself, right? There's all kinds of flavors of being a debtor, right? I'm not an under earner. I totally have a 1,000,000% respect for people who are recovering from a under earning. I'm an overworker. Same coin flips around, right? Like, we have a lot of behaviors in DA. All of them are welcome. I'm not about like drawing lines like who gets to come and who doesn't get to come. That's not how it works. How it works is we're inclusive. We are welcoming. We want everybody to join the DA party. I like a party personally, and I like this party a lot. Why? Because when I saw all your little thumbs ups about sponsorship and your willingness to carry the message to the debtor who still suffered, I thought every single one of these people is willing to share their experience, strength, and hope with sometimes a total stranger who they've never met in person so that they can continue to recover. Because if you don't have a sponsee, you're not doing it. It's not going to happen. I didn't have a sponsee those first 5 years. And I remember one time I was on a panel at one of the World Service Conferences, and somebody said to me, like, I have such a hard time finding a sponsor in DA. It's a hard time finding a sponsor. And I said, are you a sponsor? And they said, no. And I said, well, you don't need a sponsor. You need a sponsee. And they was sort of controversial, but welcome to talking to me. I have to sponsor people. I have to sponsor people. Why? Because my desires are nuts. My thinking about money is whacked. And when I have to help another person not incur debt today, right? That's how I get better. I'll just say, like, you can be in DA a long time, right? I haven't incurred any new unsecured debt since that graduate student experience. So 1997, haven't incurred any new debt, right? And that doesn't mean that my desire hasn't been whack, because we ha our so here's the thing about desire I want to tell you about. This is my whole theme of my keynote talk to you today. Desire is not bad. Like I said, like, my desire's got me here and my desire keeps me here. The issue for me in being a compulsive debtor is that, like, that vision I had wasn't a bad thing. I used debt to get it, and it was gone. It never came true, right? Debt ruins things for compulsive debtors. It takes our spiritual solution and crushes it like dust under a boot. I hate to say it. You can't have a spiritual life as a compulsive debtor if you're using a card. And, I know we like to, like, trick ourselves a lot. God knows I could be as delusional as the next person. And everybody who knows me knows that my personal slogan is that even on a good day, my mind is trying to kill me. And that means that even on a good day, I can think, maybe I can handle it. Maybe I could actually use a card and get miles because I like to travel. Maybe I need an iPhone or an iWatch or an iWhatever. And they offer it on a payment plan. Maybe I can, like, that seat, that's, like, is that, No. It's debt. It's just debt. If you sponsor somebody and they're like, I really want an iPhone. Great. There's nothing wrong with it having it. Well, I can't afford to buy it cash, full price. What's your answer? You can't buy it now. That's debting. And I hate to say it, but as a sponsor, part of our job is to make it really clear to people. I have a business. So my vision, my most recent vision, one of them is I wanted to have a business. I want a debt-free business. That's what it has to be for me. So I had a coach. I got a coach. And she was like, you need to take out a business credit card and get a business line of credit. And I'm like, no, business my business credit card and my business line of debt, credit, whatever it is still debt. It's still unsecured debt. It still counts. If you don't have a desire to stop incurring unsecured debt, how can you be a member? Right? I need to hear from people who are willing to go to any lengths, like those three people who would drive from Baltimore to DC just to go to a meeting and bring it back to the rest of us. That set the bar for me. You hear about people in early DA who like did service and like try to create a fellowship. I mean, it's flipping amazing what those people went to be willing to carry the message to the debtor who still suffers. I have nothing but gratitude for them, because if it wasn't for them, I don't know where I would be. And I'll tell you another story. So I had another desire, I had another want. I really wanted to, this was in the 2000s. And some of you might have remembered that there was this great big boom about real estate investing. And I got totally hooked. I had every book there was on how to make $1 million in real estate without losing it, without stopping working or blah, blah, blah. But I was in DA and I had learned my lesson. So I was like, okay, how can I do this without unsecured debt, right? So I had a mixillion pressure relief groups. I worked the steps around it with my sponsor, right? My sponsor and the people in my PRG who were the same, you know, my sponsor was in my pressure relief group, because I can be tricky. So like, you know, very simple. And one of the people in the pressure relief group said, well, Carla, you need enough money so that if that whole thing tanks, you won't incur any debt. You won't incur any unsecured debt. And I was like, are you kidding me? So I had to save up enough money to do real estate investing, which was hilarious because that's a lot of money. And that's not how they said to do it, another make $1 million in real estate investing. But I was like, all right, I'm willing to not incur debt one day at a time. So I did that. So I saved up money and I got into real estate investing. And guess what I learned about myself? I am a horrible landlord. I am horrible owning property. I don't even like to take care of my own house. Why I think I want to take care of additional properties is insane. I'm not a handy person. I can't fix plumbing. I can't do any of that. So as you can imagine, the whole thing went to hell. And I did pressure relief groups and talked to my sponsor and worked the steps through the whole thing. And you want to know what? I got out. How did I get out? I was able to sell one property. I didn't make any money, but I didn't lose really too much money. The second one, I went in with I bought it with another person who was very good at money, who was a math whiz. And anybody who knows me knows that numbers are not my friend. And I thought, this is a match made in heaven. Yeah, no, it was not a match made in heaven at all. So when things went up, we were upside down $100,000 on this property. And, you know, it's all secured debt, right? It's all secured debt. So supposedly legal in DA. Yeah. Upside down. So we went in and had a foreclosure. We had to foreclose on it. And I had to pay all the taxes on the foreclosure, and I had to pay all the expenses for the legal things and blah, 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 blah. I lost that friendship, right? But I got out. Now, what did I learn from that? Here's what I learned. Luckily, my desire to not incur debt one day at a time superseded my desire to make $1 million in real estate. I went after what I wanted. It did not turn out to be what I needed for my higher power. Turned out that after the fact, I realized that the only reason I wanted to do that was to make $1 million, give me the more money, right? And because I'm a compulsive debtor, I understand that when I am driven by money and desire for something, I call that, and I got to be really careful, because that desire can easily flip over into greed. And greed, in my book, is the number one character defect for compulsive debtors, right? Greed. I want something so much that I'm willing to go for it, whether it hurts me or somebody else, right? It's desire that leads to hurting me or other people. That's how I define it for myself. I keep it very simple, you know? And that's why I had to be really clear, because it's not, there's nothing bad with wanting things, but if I'm willing to like jeopardize my future, hurt my family, hurt my tenants, hurt my friends, hurt my partners, my employees, because I want what I want when I want it, that's greed. And I have to ask my higher power to please remove it. Now, that's hard to get to. And the reason that I think sponsorship was the theme for this fellowship day is because, left to our own devices, it's really hard to understand the nature of the compulsive debtor, right? The nature of our disease, the nature of our character defects. And it's a very rich exploration for everybody, right? So when I sponsor people and we work the steps together, everyone gets to talk about what it is that they truly want. Because I do believe that our higher power is involved in that. But we got to be careful as debtors, because it's very hard, at least it's been very hard for me, to wrestle spiritually with my desires. Now, you can have the opposite. I mean, I'm not saying that, deprivation is a thing in DA. And I want everybody to know that I understand that. And that's saying, it's the same coin, it's just a flip, right? And so when we think about my desire is to not take care of myself or to take risks, undue, unsafe risks with money or insurance, health insurance and all that stuff that we list in the signs and in the literature. That's not spiritual either, right? Now, there's no hard and fast rule. That's why we have to have a sponsor, right? You need somebody else to reason this stuff out with. And you need somebody else to help you understand and do the steps with. And now we got the great workbook. And that workbook has questions and quotes and things to read and things like that. It has a lot of like extra like awesome tools for us. DA has a lot of tools because I think it's really hard to understand. Thank you, Maureen. It's really hard to understand as a compulsive debtor, you know, what's really hard to understand is prosperity and abundance. I'm just going to say it, right? It's a hook, people. I'm with you. It's a hook. It's a hook for our program. It's a hook for people. And all I can share with you is that I believe that Debtors Anonymous is here to give us a rich life filled with meaning and purpose, right? It's not how to make $1 million in whatever. Some people, that's gonna come to them. Some people like me, maybe not. Some people, you know, everyone's gonna find their own way. My job as a sponsor is to help you through the steps, discover your spiritual solution to standing and paying for something at a cash register, deciding how to go after a career goal, deciding what kind of career you want to move into, what are your investment options, as all those things that you're going to wrestle with. How do you retire? How do you deal with medical debt? How do you deal with your kids and their expenses? My goal, my job as your sponsor, is to help you one day at a time not incur any new unsecured debt as you wrestle with all those things and find the spiritual solution that's for you. My solution isn't your solution. All I know is there is no answer in which a credit card is the right answer. As a compulsive debtor, there are people who can use credit cards and unsecured debt in many, many, many ways. They're not in DA. Why? they don't meet the requirements, right? They don't desire to stop incurring unsecured debt one day at a time because they don't need to. I can't handle it. It's a gift of step one. I can't handle it. However, I can still have a rich life filled with meaning and purpose because I'm willing to keep coming back to do service at every level, to be humble in front of everybody here, and to know that, like, when you've been in a while and you understand that it's not as obvious anymore. Like, I don't have a desire to use a credit card anymore. I'll just be honest with you. That's been removed. I don't have a desire to borrow money with people anymore. That's been removed, right? It's trickier now. I have to talk to my sponsor and say, what do you think about this? This, you know, it's more like this, this or this, this or this. And when I talk to my sponsees now, they make the decision. I'm not the higher power. I'm not a financial advisor. I'm not an investment banker. You don't really want my advice in that arena, obviously, right? But what I can share with you is, you know what I think? Step seven. That's what I'm hearing. You know what I think? I think you're on 12. I think it's time for you to sponsor somebody. And like, that's the kind of answer as a sponsor I feel it's my job to give. Debtors Anonymous needs you. And I'm going to tell you this right now, and I'm not trying to be guilty or anything, but like, it needs you. It needs you to sponsor people. It needs you to show up at your meetings without having incurred any new debt one day at a time. That's all we need. We need you to come to the meeting, not debting, and be willing to help somebody else. Because when we do that, we will continue to recover. Our program, our fellowship is full of creative, intelligent, fascinating, extremely attractive people, I want to say, as compulsive debtors. And only we're the only ones who can help each other. If we stop, if we get distracted, we're in danger. So I want to thank you all for listening to me. Take what you like, leave the rest. Anna, I'll pass. Love y'all.
Thanks, Carla.